On the telephone lines, I got three very, very, very important persons to host the show. But I'll give way to my good friend and colleague, my very good... I hear a lot of whistling somewhere. That whistling, I don't want it to persist, please. But I'll say good evening to Jason Bell. Jason!
It wasn't me whistling, I promise.
I figured it was you trying to whistle at me, man.
I have better ways of getting people's attention.
Oh, good Lord.
More discreet ways.
All right. Go for it, Jason. Again,
how's it going today?
I have had a good day. The Lord has been good to me today again, and I'm thankful for him. He's given me another opportunity to broadcast to the world via a little microphone in a little studio in a little island we call Barbados. We call it home. And we broadcast to the entire world. I think, you know, Donald Trump listens to Voice of Barbados.
Oh, there's no question.
Yes. He learns a lot from us. And, you know.
And I think we ought to proceed for the health of it. What do you think?
I would like to think so. Go right ahead, my friend.
All right. And in Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean, you're listening to VOB 92.9 FM, VOB929.com. And for the health of it, I'm Jason Bell. As Ken so said, and we have two VIPs on this illustrious panel, if I do say so myself, including President of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Miss Trudy Griffith. How are you doing, Trudy?
Good evening. I'm fine, and you?
I am grateful to be alive.
So for those listeners who have been tuned in to StarCom over the past few weeks, you would have recognized that the Diabetes Association of Barbados started a radio broadcast. Last week, Tuesday, was National Heroes Day, so therefore we didn't have a show last week.
Yes,
but
indeed.
Something significant besides National Heroes Day was last week, and that was the association's 45th anniversary of existence.
Happy belated birthday, DAB.
Thank you very much, Jason, on behalf of everyone associated with the association. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week, because when we think about anniversaries, when we think about celebrations, what do we think about, Jason?
You want me to give the politically correct answer, or you want me to go ahead and take a risk?
What's the first thing that comes to mind, Jason?
Cake.
Exactly. You think about food. Because we think about gatherings anywhere across the length and breadth of Barbados, food has to be part of that. That's just
Absolutely.
The way we are culturally attuned. We think about food, breakfast, we think about lunch, we think about dinner, we think about anything significant that happens in our life, we tend to celebrate with food. And within the context of COVID-19, one of the hot button topics has been diabetes and what you're eating and everything associated with that. So that's the area that we're going to be looking at tonight on the show. So those of you who are listening, you can certainly call in to the show. Jason, what are the numbers again that persons can reach us at?
434-1790 is the number you can call and make your contribution for the health of it. You can also WhatsApp us 266-IVOB or 266-4862. That number again, 266-4862 if you're calling or WhatsApping rather from overseas. Add the area code 1-246-266-IVOB.
Right.
So we're talking nutrition tonight, Trudy.
So we're talking nutrition tonight. So I would have had a conversation with one of the volunteers of the association who has been working with the association for quite a number of years. It is just coincidental that we share the same name. Okay.
So there's no relation.
There's no relationship that we are aware of. But you know what happens in Barbados? You go to a funeral and what do you find out? You find the relatives that you didn't even know you had.
This is a true
so
thing.
So therefore, I am so pleased to have Miss Nicole Griffith with us on air this evening. Nicole, are you with us?
Yes, please. I'm here. Good night, everyone.
Hi, Nicole.
Blessings, Nicole. Good to hear you.
Nicole, so just share with our listeners for a couple of seconds in terms of your background as it relates to nutrition.
Okay, so I am actually a vegetarian nutritionist, but some persons would say qualifications, but obviously vegetarian nutrition is not something that is very popular in Barbados. As it relates to my current position, I'm actually a teacher at present, along with being a nutritionist, and I am actually now finishing up my postgraduate, one of my postgraduate programs in public health nutrition, and it so happens that COVID-19 comes just at the brink of that.
Wow.
This gives me ample time or ample... I'm not able, I should say, to be able to use the things that I would have been taught, I should say.
You're putting your theoretical knowledge to very practical use in this time. Isn't that interesting how that works?
So all of those things that I taught was, like, why would I need to know this? Like, we have these covered. You all realize that those things are not covered, and people really don't know the things that you think that the average person may know as it relates to what they should be doing.
Oh, that is
and
such
even
a crucial point.
Yeah, and even those who actually know, when something happens, like a crisis, people forget everything that they were taught and everything that they would have probably been accustomed to doing, and they just switch out into survival mode, and so people don't think about nutrition anymore.
Nicole, you were in my Sunday school class on Sunday. I made the point in a virtual Sunday school class, so don't worry, you weren't. Not following the physical distancing rules. You were following Sunday school, and one of the points that came up, I think I made it, but someone really finalized it, nailed it down. We revert, in the time of crisis, we revert to the level of our training. So it's all well and good to have all the fancy terms, all the fancy technology, terminologies, but when you're in a time of crisis, the first thing most people reach for, if you're like me, is that that loaf of bread, that tub of butter, that can of Coke, that pack of cookies, that stuff that's not good for us if you're living with diabetes. We eat in excess.
Presenters.
We late. We do all sorts of things. We drink too much. We smoke too much. We put ourselves in a lot of trouble because we revert to the level of our training.
But presenters, isn't that instinctive? Isn't that instinctive? It is almost something that you do without knowing you've done it. Almost, somebody referred to as intra-subliminal sort of operation.
Yeah, like a subconscious thing. Subconscious.
Yeah, you just go back to that. And yeah. But I think what, and it is, yes, Nicole, what Sister Nicole is going to say is that whenever you find that you reach out, let me say automatically or reflectively, into this survival mode, you should still be conscious that you do not do like Jason and eat two pork chops.
Please don't do it.
Do that. No.
I did not hear Jason say that at all.
But I didn't. No, but you don't know Jason like I do. You do not know Jason like I do.
Tell all my business, guys.
and we don't want Nicole?
Yes, please.
You don't want Jason to do that or anyone to do that, right?
No, we don't.
Whenever you find that you're reverting back to your training, back to your natural behavior, and you're looking for food, for strength and support, don't let it be upright. Let it be celery and carrots, right?
Yes. Oh
Nicole, you're encouraging him.
Yes,
I have made my point.
Oh my word!
I have made my point, Nicole.
So therefore, I wanted to touch on a comment that Jason made a little bit earlier in terms of bread, and I know that in Barbados we tend to focus a lot on flour based products.
Oh
yes. So breads and cakes and biscuits and so on, which are heavily weighted with flour in them. And we want persons to appreciate that at the Diabetes Association, we're not telling you that you can't consume those things. It's just a matter that you have to be careful in terms of how much you consume and how much you consume at one time as well. So I've heard of stories where persons, before they truly understood portion sizes and portion control, would have opened up a pack of biscuits from one of the popular companies in Barbados and sat down, ate it all by themselves. And then you said to them, but a portion is like five of those squares. They're like, what? I never knew that.
So I want persons to know that you're at home. Know that these restrictions have been imposed on you. I want you to take the time to really sit down and think about what you're eating. Because one of the challenges that we also have to face is mindless eating. So you're eating not because you're hungry or anything like that. You're just eating because it's there.
You're bored.
Is it true? Sister Trudy, is it true that you're eating because it is there? If it were not there, would you not go and find it or find something else to eat?
But let's think about it, Ken. If you were working a 9-to-5 job, right? Mm-hmm. You are in your employer's workplace.
Yes.
You know that you have a 1-hour lunch break. You may have a couple of rest breaks in between. So therefore, you're limited in terms of when you can eat or when you can consume calories.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're at home and you're working from home, the kitchen is right there.
But I don't know. You see,
pull up whatever, or dash quickly to the fridge and take out something, or dash into the cupboard and take out something, and you're just sitting down there.
Correct. Sitting. But Trudy, people like Jason Bell and Ronnie Clark, these fellas are very structured, really, really structured fellas. They will arrive at the point at 8 o'clock in the morning and calculate, I'm leaving here at 4:30. During that period, I'm going to eat four times, and they will bring in lunch for four periods. And you think they're bringing lunch to serve everybody? No, it's for them.
That would be Ronnie Clark.
That'd be Ronnie. Ronnie says for you, man.
So I'm glad that you mentioned this, because Nicole and I spoke about this last week. In terms of, we have heard stories that persons are changing their habits. And changing their habits in ways that are not natural.
Mm-hmm,
so
true.
Therefore, we know that you have three main meals of the day, which are breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that dinner needs to be your heaviest meal. You want to eat your heavier meals during the day when you're going to be active. But there's some persons who've decided, well, I'm only going to eat twice a day and so on. But the thing about it, if you are on medication, you do need to take care in terms of what you're doing. Your medication doses have been calculated based on what you normally eat.
Right.
So therefore, if you are going to be consuming less, you do need to be measuring your blood sugars if you have diabetes, or you need to be very observant in terms of your body, how you feel, etc., to make sure that you're not actually causing harm to yourself. Nicole, you want to add anything there?
Yeah, because from observation, because we all have, We know of persons who have particular medications that they take, and for most times, most older persons, they will be on a particular regimen as it relates to, like, say, insulin or their hypertension medication, and those things are calculated based on what someone would consider their normal diet. And so when you start eating less than what you were eating before, or you're eating more than what you were eating before, then that medication then does not work in the way it's supposed to be. So in the case for someone who has diabetes, and your doctor has placed you on this particular medication, and you're not someone who's on, say, a pump that will calculate based on the amount of calories that you calorie intake that you have for the day, or if you are one that you're able to know how much insulin you need based on the calories that you consume, if you're on a particular regimen where you have that amount to take, regardless of what it is, because your doctor has calculated it to say, well, maybe you're going to have this amount for the entire day or what you had at lunch, then you can take this amount of insulin. People who are on staunch particular amounts of insulin, then you have a hazard where people are saying, well, I feel like I'm going to overeat, so I'm not going to eat at all. I'm skip meals. But you're still taking the insulin that was supposed to come into effect to help break down what you would have eaten. So now you are breaking down something that is not there. So then instead of having a high blood sugar, you're not having a low blood sugar. And you can end up in a case where people are going to black out. And people are saying, well, people blacking out at the supermarket. And that, yes, it's true. They may be hungry. They may be hungry because you took your medication the morning and you came out to the supermarket and you didn't eat. So then your insulin now is working on something that is not there.
Right. So, I like that terminology.
So people are saying people are having bad feelings. People are not necessarily having bad feelings. In some cases, some persons may be taking medication before eating, or eating too much and not taking the medication. And then so you have like all these public instances of people falling and fainting and passing out. And so I mean, a lot of times, some of it happens unconsciously because some people are in such a panic, saying, I have to get there, I have to get here, or I don't want to do this. They don't eat.
They got 8 to 11. They got to do everything between 8 and 11.
Well, yeah.
Yes. So you run the house as soon as curfew break at 6, you already out through the door to get to the supermarket.
Then go get to the beach by 6 o'clock and leave at by minute to 9.
You want to line up in time so you didn't get to eat. And so I know personally persons who would have taken along, especially older persons. I know I have seen them inside the supermarket line. They have the medication wrapped up in like tissue or so.
Oh, my word.
And so they're in the line. And so they would say, tell the guard, well, bring a coat for me or bring a drink for me. Let me just take this medication. This is going to be good enough. And they will take the medication, but you or they will take it there with whatever they brought home, maybe a slice of bread or something that they brought along, and it's not sufficient. And then they start telling you, I get in cold sweats. I'm not feeling well.
Right.
But it's because you just took medication that was intended to work with a particular amount of calories, and you don't have that amount of calories in your body. So you're not taking away anything else or the few calories that you have from in front, left back, from the day in front. You know, taking those away, I know you're in enough, so your body can't function. You can't do anything.
Nicole? Now that you're making that point, could you make concomitant to that what you're saying, the fact that people should take medication at a particular time every day? Or,
yes.
I mean, within a 15-minute period. Within a, you know, like if you can't do it on the clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. But so maybe, usually it's best to take medication. Usually it's best to take medication. I would say on a routine. So if you take it, if you take it 3 o'clock, and maybe try to stick to like 3 o'clock every day.
Right,
close
right.
To 3 or close to 9.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the pandemic is that most people took medication. Most people who are working took medication based on when they got to work or when they were about to leave home to go to work or when they were coming home from work or during lunchtime at work. So say if you are a teacher and you had lunchtime at 11:45 and you say, well, I'm going to take this medication at 12 o'clock because I'm going to have lunch at 11:45. I should have been finished eating by then.
Mm-hmm.
And so now your world is turned upside down. And now what used to be lunchtime for you, now you're still in class teaching online.
Oh,
and
my word.
If your class is going to start at 9, now instead of taking your medication at 7, when you would have been already on the road or getting ready to be on the road to get work for 8:30, you're now taking it at 9 because that's the time you're now getting up. And instead of taking it at 3 when you finish work, as you would usually do, now you are taking it at 8 in the night because sometimes they're sitting there forever just trying to get stuff done for the next day. So, like, yeah, I would like to say that you on a regular basis, most people would try to do that, but because people, in terms of timelines and working from home, the average person worked is not the same anymore, and so people have lost track of time. People sit at their computers for long hours now, and so when they think that they were supposed to take their medications, like especially person who has to do insulin by injection, and those people who have to count calories, people don't have the time. People are not counting calories. Some people are not counting calories now because by the time they don't have time. You can't count calories and sit at the computer all day. And some people are just snacking. And then for those who didn't eat at all, it's like, should they still take the insulin or do I not take the insulin? Like, they don't know now at this point. Some persons are just confused. And because they don't really have someone that they may be able to ask per se, it's like they just go based on how they feel or if somebody else in the hospital will say, wait, you want to take your medication? And that's another thing. A lot of times people guilt people into taking the medication or guilt people out of eating stuff that they want. So you may be in a hospital and everybody in that hospital know that you have diabetes or you have hypertension. And you may have said, well, all right, I didn't get to eat such and such, so I'm going to eat this because I need to take my medication. And yeah, it might not have been the healthier option for you to eat at the time, but you need to eat because you need to take that medication.
Right.
And some people, as soon as you open the fridge door and you pull it out, some people are like, you know you shouldn't eat that. You know very well that ain't good for you. Your doctor, your pressure going to be high enough for you to go to the doctor next week. You guilt the person. Now, the person feeling so guilty, the person's not going to eat it, but the person's going to still take the medication because they know that you're watching them. And instead of trying to tell them, well, all right, go back and sit down and do what you're doing, are you going to make you something healthier that you can take your medication? You guilt the person into not eating and they still end up taking the medication. So, I mean, you just put the person at risk. And that's something that we that we do as human beings, as soon as we know somebody have a particular ailment or
sickness,
we start guilting people. So you have diabetes, you can't drink no drink at all.
What you can't doing without
drinking water? Can't eat no bread. You can't, as soon as you got hesitation, you put it on Megacube in your food, take that. You can't
eat celery and carrots.
I thought you was doing
rabbit food.
So called rabbits last week, and the curfew come now. I wait till I can tell your gym instructor that I see you eating, I see you in bread shop line. Like, the guilting needs to stop. People need to stop guilting people because at some point in time, you're going to fall off the wagon. But the thing for you to do, if you have somebody in your household who has fallen off the wagon, just try to help them back on. But for any time you start guilting people make people sneak food. So when you, and I will say this about my sister, she has this whole strict thing about, she's not going to eat particular items because she thinks it's going to give her a heart attack. And she's also a nutritionist. And she's, like, strict. And she knows that if she goes to the fridge, my dad's going to say, I thought you don't eat pork. So you know what she does now? Like, she knows she's back here, but she would go to the fridge late at night. So everybody's sleeping at 2 o'clock. They will wake up in the morning and say, I thought they baked a ham last night. The ham like that. They're like, you're the only other person that lives in this house. And so if everybody else was sleeping, the fridge eating the food itself now.
Go on, Nicole.
Stand by, Nicole. You are listening to For the Health of It with me, Jason Bell, and us extremely passionate Nicole Griffiths speaking about how we as people who are living with diabetes are those of us who are on the edge, like how I am. I'm walking off the edge myself. And we're talking about how this social support can lead to some fairly dysfunctional behaviors. And in the overall context of speaking about nutrition in the time of COVID-19. Nicole, you've given us so much to think about. And I just want to take a quick step back with you and Trudy to consider some of the issues that we just spoke about. One of them that you spoke about in the beginning was what the doctors call, and we can add this to the glossary, Trudy, hypoglycemia. Yeah.
Oh, hypoglycemia. That's the easy one.
All right. So hypoglycemia, Ken, what is your definition of hypoglycemia?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Trudy, help.
I can't understand. I told you that's the easy one. You can come ask me.
You say it's easy, so I still put your hand in the virtual class, and they thought you were the answer.
But isn't that when your blood sugars are too high?
No. So there you go. So please differentiate, Trudy, for us and Nicole, between hypo and hyperglycemia.
So I want to make this easy for persons, right? Because the two terms are very closely related.
Right.
So it's actually one word made up of three parts. So hypo is one, or hyper is the other, within the context of hyperglycemia. And then there's glyc, which refers to sugar, and there's emia, which talks about what's happening in the blood.
Presence in blood.
So therefore, hypo refers to low, hyper refers to high. So therefore, when you hear hypo, you hear high level of sugar in the blood. Hypo is low level of sugar in the blood. Hyperglycemia is high level of sugar in the blood. So therefore, it's very easy to understand what those two terms mean. So we hear a person talking about, my blood sugar is good or my blood sugar is bad. So therefore, before you make that qualification in terms of what it is to you, we want to know what the number is. Okay? So for those persons who measure their blood sugars using a machine called a glucometer, we want you to understand what those numbers mean to you. It certainly depends on what units your machine uses. So therefore, I need for you to start getting familiar. And one of these weeks, we're actually going to be talking about measuring your blood sugars. So therefore, I need persons to start understanding what those numbers mean.
I have an idea about that, Trudy. I actually have a glucometer here and a Lancet. Perhaps I can take the test over the radio and try to explain to folks. It maybe would be a better idea to do it via video, but I think we could do it.
You hear me yelling out. Post it online.
Ah, that's a great idea.
I think we should do that.
Right. And speaking of online, you remember we are listening to For the Health of It in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados and Jason Bell. And the last voice you just heard is the president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Trudy Griffiths. How can folks reach out to you online? Because that was the other thing that Nicole brought up, that support or a lack thereof that many folks living with diabetes may not have in this crucial time. Reaching out online is a great way for folks to reach the Diabetes Association of Barbados, I hear. So please, tell us how we can reach out to you guys.
So actually, before I answer your question directly, Jason, I want to reference something.
Okay,
now, in these times, we know that persons are restricted, and therefore, the supermarkets have restricted opening hours, and certainly all the restaurants, anywhere that serves food, they really and truly have not been allowed to operate.
No.
So which means that forcing persons who are not accustomed eating at home or preparing their own meals to make do some way, somehow.
Right.
Right? And one of the things Nicole and I had discussed is that we're actually going to be producing a few videos in terms of some very simple dishes that you can make at home.
Yes,
so
I need to see that.
You need to look out for those on our platform. So let me share those platforms with you now. So we do have our online platforms, which are our website, which is www.diabetes.bb. We also have a Facebook page, so please go on Facebook and look for the Diabetes Association of Barbados.
Right.
And we also have an Instagram presence, and that is Diabetes Barbados. If you want to reach out to us, you can certainly email us, and our email address is dab40 followed by the letter A at gmail.com, and you can certainly telephone us, as I would have mentioned in our last broadcast. Our landlines are still operational because they've been forwarded to our mobile phone. So you can still reach us at 427-9338 or 437-2285.
Right.
If you prefer to contact us directly on our mobile phone, that number is 230-2975. So as I said, we are going to be posting some videos shortly on our online platform. So look out for those.
So that means we get to see, as well as hear, Trudy and Nicole and the creations that they make for the health of it.
Yes. Certainly that is something the association has been focusing on quite some time. A number of years ago, we had actually produced a handbook, which contained quite a number of recipes. There was a limited print, so therefore not everybody would have had access to that handbook. But certainly we are looking to do a cookbook shortly, obviously within the context of COVID-19. Our ability to pursue that has been curtailed, but certainly that is very much still on the cards for this year once the restrictions are lifted and we're able to proceed with our normal level of operations.
I am looking forward, for my one, to experimenting and expanding my culinary palate. I've got burgers down. I've got pasta sauce down. I've got cooked veg. Ken, you'll be really proud of me, man. And I've got a lot of healthy snacks and salads down pat now. So therefore, I'm really looking forward to expanding my culinary skills in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. Nicole, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I would like you to just speak as we coming on to the end of this show. And again, another great sign that our show is going well is that time seems to fly. Tell us a little bit about how we can just baby steps. I mean, from the person who is absolutely on a panic right now because of all the things you outlined, give me one or two very simple takeaways as to how we can manage our nutrition as persons living with diabetes or those who care about those that are living with diabetes in this time of COVID.
All right, so one of the important things that they need to remember is to stay away, or not stay away, but to limit the amount of refined carbohydrates and sugars that they take in.
So refined carbohydrates will be sugar, flour, white.
No. Where do you find these? In bread and cakes and so on, right?
Yes,
these
bread,
refined
cakes. Unless you're making, say, a cake from cassava, and that is not one that you will necessarily find on a supermarket shelf
right.
as easily as you will find one that is made from white flour.
Right, okay.
Does Jason have your number, Nicole?
I know you have my email, but I'm not sure about my number.
I'm going to beg you to let this stay close to Jason.
10 husbands.
I'm going to beg you to stay for my sake, for David Ellis's sake, for Ronnie's sake. I mean, you know, all of us down here at Starcom, his boss, Johnson. For everybody's sake, please, Nicole and Trudy, stay close to Jason. When we employed him here, we knew that he was 600 pounds. And now he's trying to get 200 pounds overnight.
So no, no. Rome wasn't built in a day, and this body will not be built in one day either.
So man.
I will have that, and I will continue to live for the health of it. Give us that last point, though, Nicole, before we run out of time.
And my last point is to just keep boosting your immunity. Just use local fruits and vegetables and try to stay away as much as possible from those things that are already packaged, prepackaged stuff. That was my point. Yes, just keep it local and keep away from your packaged items.
Excellent advice as we finish up. For the health of it, Trudy, this has been another really good program.
Really good.
Really grateful for you bringing your namesake, no relation, on Nicole Griffith, trained nutritionist and completing masters. Ken, are you aware that Trudy Griffith is also a master's graduate?
Oh, yes, of course. I know the lady well. I know her very, very well. I know her parents as well.
She's
a bright girl. She's a bright girl, man.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why we have our lyrical interpretations. I mean, you don't get here because you're good looking. You understand?
Sure. No
you don't get all lyrical interpretations because you're good looking, man.
No, yeah.
Right. So I want to follow up based on what Nicole just said. Now, we have talked about COVID-19 in terms of what we should be doing with regards to our nutrition. But I hope persons are beginning to appreciate that our message has not changed. Regardless of whether we're going through COVID-19, regardless of whether it's applicable to just the way you live and your everyday experience, we are recommending the very same thing. So consuming fresh fruits and vegetables, preparing your own meals, and watching out for your portion sizes. Everything that Nicole said. And consuming water.
Yes.
Consuming water. We drink a lot of sugar in sugar sweetened beverages without consciously recognizing what we are doing. So even if you're not able to exercise, or even if you're not able to maintain your normal level of physical activity, just paying attention to your diet is just as beneficial as actually complementing that with physical activity.
Beautiful. Beautiful message to which
thank you.
We can end for the health of it for tonight. Trudy Griffith, president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, and Nicole Griffith, no relation, nutritionist and volunteer with the DAB. Thank you so much for your excellent contributions tonight. I'm really looking forward to seeing that cookbook and seeing what you guys come up with in terms of what you do online. And we look forward to hearing you, dear listener and dear contributor, as you listen to us, even on the podcast, for the health of it.